If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
From WGN AM 720, John Williams!
I got my Ray Clay introduction. I watched, maybe you did too, last night. Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance, the ESPN docuseries about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. And we learned still more about that team. I will just say this, by the way, about that episodes last night. I am as intrigued by the stuff that goes on in the practices and on the bus sometimes as I am, you know, some of the higher profile shots and things. Although it's still fun to watch Michael Jordan and the guys play. But when they showed the video of a practice session that they had for the Dream Team, I thought that was just really interesting to see how those guys at that level react to each other, relate to each other. I'll just repeat a couple of observations I had from earlier in the show. A lot of cigars in last night's show and a lot of amazing fashions. If Michael Jordan is remembered for nothing else, he could be remembered as the greatest athlete in the world. One of the episodes said, the greatest maybe person at his job of anybody ever, right? Like, who's the best accountant of all time? Who's the best doctor of all time? He may be the best basketball player of all time and may be better at basketball than any accountant has ever been at accounting. He may be the best person at what he did than anybody was ever at what they did. One way to think about that. The timeline is confusing. There's virtually no mention of MJ's wife or kids. He is one of the richest people on earth, thanks in part to his mother, who does make an appearance now and again, telling him to get on that plane and go talk to those people from Nike. Adidas, you could have had him. The same way other teams could have had Michael Jordan on their basketball team, so too could other shoe companies have had Michael Jordan on their team. He is insanely rich now for a lot of reasons, but a not small part of that is because of his relationship with Nike. And one other thing, nothing gets in Jordan's way. People said Clyde Drexler was as good as Michael Jordan. He is not going to let that. He's not going to let you say that. He's going to prove you wrong. The Bulls' favorite new player was going to be Tony Kukoc. So Michael and Scotty and the guys in the Olympics are going to embarrass Kukoc. Isaiah Thomas would have wanted to have been on the Dream Team. He was one of the greatest point guards of all time. Michael Jordan didn't like him, so Thomas is not on the Dream Team. Michael Jordan could have spoken out against Jesse Helms' campaign when he was running for re-election, but that would have gotten in the way of Michael Jordan's money train. Michael wanted the money. Nothing gets in Michael's way. He famously said Republicans buy shoes, too. When they said there's things about Michael you're not going to like in some of the ensuing episodes, we'd heard that line before. You still got to like and admire the guy, but at least you got a little bit of that in episodes 5 and 6 last night. Okay, so two smart guys to talk about that with us. One is Kevin Powell, one is Sam Panionovic. Sam follows sports on the betting side, and Kevin does sports with Rokan in the afternoons. Hey, guys, how are you? You watched it last night, right?
Appointment viewing, John. It's like my Sundays are built around The Last Dance. It feels like we're watching a live sporting event between the live tweeting from sports fans, and just your whole day is built around getting ready for the 8 o'clock kickoff, Last Dance.
That's Kevin Powell. Sam, what did you notice? What jumped out at you last night?
I thought that was the best era of Jordan, honestly. The 91, 92, 93 swing. As far as the peak in his skill, his popularity and his marketability, there's nobody that will ever touch that again. I mean, he's the best player in the NBA. He's the most popular, most marketable athlete. I mean, the droves of media scrums, you see those crowds in those locker rooms around his little locker that I don't think I could fit in. He's got three different waves of media coming in. He can't go anywhere. He can't leave his hotel room without being bombarded or asked for a picture or being touched. I mean, he was just walking on water in that 91, 92, 93 era. And how about this? He's 28 years old. He wins his second championship. He wins the finals MVP. And, oh, by the way, that summer he goes to Barcelona and they win the gold medal. Can you have it any better than 91, 92, 93?
It's a pretty good run, wasn't it, Kevin?
It really was. And it's pretty clear that, and it's a story we hear all the time, right? The cameras, the lights, the fame, it all gets a little bit old. And I don't know if it's entirely old for Jordan at that time, but it's starting to build up to that, the last dance, the final season. And look, if you talk to people who were close to the situation and you ask who broke up the Bulls, a lot of people will tell you Jordan, not Jerry Krause. And you're starting to see that as we progress in this docuseries, that he's starting to get a little tired of it all. I mean, as Sam mentioned, everywhere he went, it wasn't just a few fans. It was a mob of fans, and it was a mob of media surrounding him. So I completely agree with Sam. I don't know how anybody could even touch that sort of popularity in the sports world ever again. And I think the way it's going to end, I think it'll probably paint a clear picture of where Jordan stood when it did come to the last dance.
Yeah, there was a scene, right, Sam, where he just goes, I'm done with this. It's been fun, but I'm done with this. He was, like, just mentally drained.
He didn't love the game anymore, and that's something Cheryl Ray Stout, Kevin and I both know her really well, worked at WMAQ for years, and she was really close with Jordan. They actually had the same birthday, and he was telling her around 92 he just didn't love the game anymore because it became more of a chore, and he didn't really feel like he had a life. So that was not a surprise to a lot of people. To the casual fan, why would he retire? And then, of course, the next episode we're going to deal with the death of his father, James, and all of the long-winded rumors and myths about why that happened. I'm not going to get into that. But I did want to rattle these numbers off real quick. King, this is 93, the finals. This is the peak of the basketball season, the finals. In the 93 finals against the Phoenix Suns, Michael Jordan averaged 41 points a game, 9 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game, 2 steals a game, and a block per game. That is, you will never, ever see a stat. 41 points a game in the finals?
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, I also felt, and maybe you guys would agree with this, that when the pressure of the world of being Michael Jordan was just overwhelming to him. It's cliche, but it's true, isn't it? That the one place that he did seem to be himself to enjoy life is on the basketball floor. A lot of athletes say that. Between the lines, I like that. Everything on the other side of the lines, I don't. You got that feeling watching that episode last night.
You know, it's so funny Sam rattled off those numbers because Mark Carmen, our colleague here at WGN, has very much been chiming in on this, considering he's a Bulls junkie and he loves Jordan and all that. But he always talks about how Jordan was actually, you know, much more talented and better during that first three-peat. And I've had a chance to watch all these games over and over with all the replays and time to reflect back on it. And I thought B.J. Armstrong last night during the documentary, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said Jordan was a better basketball player during that stretch.
Yeah.
The final three, when you watch, and BJ basically says he knew how, he found out how to win games. And before it was all Jordan. Jordan just dominated. He did his thing. And when you watch highlights of those last three playoff series and championship rounds, he wasn't necessarily overwhelming in terms of talent. It was so very clear. He controlled the entire court. He controlled everything, you know, on and off the court when we see the behind the scenes now, but very different styles of play. And that's been interesting to see as well. But it does, I think, to the point that you could tell he was getting to the point where he was done with it, was his style of play was so much different in the final three, where it was, let me just dictate the pace of play. Let me dominate this game in a different way compared to the first three, where it was, let's just overwhelm everybody with my athleticism, my talent.
Well, in earlier episodes, Kevin, the highlights would include his monster dunks or the shot against Craig Elo, stuff like that. And then the highlights last night, you saw distribution. You saw other guys scoring, but he was in the mix. And that's the team winning the games, wasn't it?
It certainly looks that way, right? I mean, it was very much a system. And look, this is not me saying he wasn't the best basketball player in the world. He very clearly was. And the way he was able to, you know, Bob Costas is all over this. It's been such a throwback. Cause I think 90s Bulls, I think Bob Costas on the call, and he talked about there's never been anyone with the artistry quite like Jordan. And it's so true. The way he got buckets, You don't see that in today's basketball anymore. It's very much run and gun, shoot a three, get to the rim. Jordan was dominated the mid-range. I mean, the turnaround jumper.
I was noticing that. I mean, not just the turnaround jumpers, but sometimes he would pull up with a 15-footer, something like that. You just don't see that so much.
And his hang time is just... Even as a kid, I used to watch and just think, how is that possible? Is he from a different planet? It just felt like he stayed forever in the air, and that allowed him to do some of the things he was able to do. But overall, though, I've loved all of this. And I hope next, because they always show little teasers, I really hope they don't spend a ton of time on the gambling baseball thing, because it's just been so played out. We all kind of have an opinion on it, and I think everybody knows that it wasn't because of gambling.
Well,
and
now, wait a minute.
Whole story.
Wait a minute. I was intrigued by some of that. And, Sam, that kind of gets into your world a little bit. Let's pick it up here in a minute. Kevin Powell. Sam Panionovich. It's 11:49. Make it 11:50 now. Kevin Powell and Sam Panionovich watch sports for us at WGN Radio. We're asking them a little bit about the Last Dance docuseries about the Bulls and Michael Jordan. Before we jump into the gambling aspect of it, guys, some of us are frustrated by the timeline, how this thing is strung out. It goes back and forth. Does that bother you, Sam, or you don't care?
No, I don't really care. I think it builds more context, and I also think it keeps us on our toes. If it was chronological, we feel like maybe we could step away. Well, we know what happens here. We know what happens there. But because it bounces from 91 to 98 to 84 to 89, I think that keeps me more involved, and it keeps me more focused. But I really, this is something where you have to probably watch it again before you get to next Sunday. It's like, I watched the movie Inception, I think, 8 times. I still don't understand it. You have to watch something like this again. Just a couple other quick notes, too. You brought up the camaraderie on the buses and the planes. Did you notice another thing? Everybody's reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
Those smartphones. That was pretty cool. Nobody's buried into their phone.
Oh, yeah, right.
And how much Jordan cared about what the reporters wrote.
Say it again? Oh, yeah.
How much he cared. I mean, the guy, as you alluded to a little bit earlier, John, he found motivation in anything and everything. And if that meant the reporter predicting that they were going to lose a series in 4 or 5 games, that worked for him, right? So he clearly cared what people were saying about him.
You don't hear a mention of talk radio, but the print media seemed to be really big then, even though talk radio was certainly a going concern at the time. But print media seemed to matter more then. Absence of smartphones. What else jumped out at you, Sam?
Well, he was a big Kathy and Judy fan, too, I've been told, MJ. But Kevin brought up Bob Costas. I'll add in Marv Albert, Ahmad Rashad. The soundtrack has been incredible. Tribe Called Quest, Wu-Tang, LL Cool J, Big E, Kool Moe Dee. And then I think I finally had my first sad tear moment last night, almost, when we saw Kobe Bryant in the flesh. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
When they bring Kobe out as a young, you know, he had to be at that time, I don't know, 19, 20 years old in the All-Star game, and Michael was calling him the little Laker boy, and he takes the game. He doesn't wait. He goes and takes it, and him telling Kobe he's going to see him down the road. I mean, the hairs were standing up on my arms to see Michael and Kobe, sort of the passing of the guard there. There's just been so much to unpack, and that's why I go back to the point. You probably should watch those two episodes again before Sunday.
Yeah, Kevin said he's seen enough of the gambling stuff. What was your take on that?
Mixed emotions on that. I did love the line, he didn't have a gambling problem, he had a competition problem. I'm going to start using that. That's incredible. But there, I mean, I know people that would lose, or Michael would lose to them on the golf course, and, you know, they'd be playing $5,000-$10,000 a hole, and Michael would be down X at the end of a round, and he'd just go, well, here, I'll sign a couple of basketballs for you. So he did have that MO of not always, you know, taking the bill when he'd go down, and they're going to probably, again, get into more of that down the road. I don't think it's a big deal when a billionaire is gambling. I mean, it's his money. He was doing what he wanted to do, staying out of trouble. But, you know, I do know that he's welched on a couple things over the year, and that's not a rumor. Those are people that I know that have told me those stories. So he did oftentimes like to double down or triple down, and what were you going to do? Were you going to threaten him? Were you going to call the cops on him? You know, he knew that. So that was that competition that he could never shut off.
I was glad to see John Paxson get a big shot last night in one of the games. And Steve Kerr had big one a couple of games before, a couple of episodes before. It was kind of nice to see them pop in and make significant contributions in important games. I am out of time, guys, but I'm interested to see what they say about his father and how far they get into that thing in the next episodes. You would agree with me on that, right?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Everything they've done, for the most part, I've been a big fan of. And by the way, the soundtrack that Sam's alluding to, it is on Spotify. If you're in love, and I know a lot of people were tweeting about it last night, how much they love the soundtrack and the playlist behind all of it. Spotify's got it. So if you want to check that out, there
cool.
you go.
Good to know, Kevin. Thank you, Sam. Fellas, we'll visit again next Monday, okay?
See you, King.
Thanks, John.
Bye, guys.